So today, we've been through five churches so far. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis. And now we're going to come to Philadelphia and Laodicea. And to reiterate from the beginning, all the way back on the first Roman numeral, in the first outline, the rewards are an incentive to us not only to cooperate with the Lord and to bring in his ultimate purpose, but the reward itself is actually a promise of what will become, right? What will become. So if you noticed on the cover page, it was the first typo. I think it's the only typo that I noticed, and it was like one of the few things on here that I wrote. So it's the title is The Overcoming Life, and the subtitle is Becoming the Reward. The typo is that I accidentally said it was October 2nd, 2022. So The Overcoming Life, Becoming the Reward. And this is really counterintuitive to how most people think, especially about the Christian life, but it's wholly in line with all of God's economy specifically, but the whole Bible generally. Even looking at our issue, the problem that we have inherently as fallen human beings is not that we do bad things, but we are a bad thing, mm-hmm. Right? The problem isn't, strictly speaking, what we do, it's what we are. Right. So it would follow then that not only the way of recovery, being recovered back to the Lord, but that the goal of recovery would not then be doing something, but becoming something. Right. God's way of saving us is by His becoming something, right? He became a curse on our behalf. He became sin on our behalf. And now we become something, and he becomes something. He becomes life in us, and then we become his match. We become his life and nature and expression, right? The whole Bible is all about what we are and what God is. Yes, there is what we do and what we must do, right? Ben brought out really good points. We need to pray, read the word. We need to cooperate with God, right? There are things we need to do, but only insofar as that doing produces a becoming, right? If we miss that mark, then we've missed the whole Christian life. So if we ever wonder what we should be praying, if we ever lose sight of that, I thought it was very good. At the last line of the chorus of the song we just sang, everything you hope to accomplish, do in me. Amen. Right? Whatever you want to do, Lord, do that in me. Right? Instead of, help me do that thing. Right? It's a very common prayer, right? Oh, Lord, I want to be so useful to you. You know, well, I want to be mighty in your hands, and I really want to be used by you. But really, you know, the best thing that my mug can do for me is to hold my coffee and not leak it. That is the best thing that this mug can do, is make sure that all of my coffee stays in it and goes directly into my mouth, right? And we're vessels. All throughout the Bible, we see that we're vessels, especially in Romans 9. We're vessels. And our chief function is to contain God and to possess and to express God. Amen. Okay? So if we ever wonder, what should I be doing? Right? I just want to be useful to you. Well, just don't spill my coffee. Right? Do not leak life. Right. possess the Lord, express the Lord. That is our function. Everything else is minutia, right? And we have a few verses like this. Whatever you do in word or in deed, give thanks to the Father, right? And I might be mashing up a couple of verses, right? So there's a couple. There's one in Colossians, and then there's one in 1 Corinthians. Whatever you do, because by and large, all of the daily things that we do, even in what we think are big things, our job, our quote-unquote ministry, whatever that happens to be, all minutia. And I say it's all minutia because if we don't take care of the first thing, which is possessing and expressing, then everything that comes out of us, the Lord is doing in spite of us, not because of us. After that unplanned introduction, let's get into Philadelphia and Laodicea. Just two Roman numerals. Let's read Roman numeral 1 and we'll leave Roman numeral 1. And I'll touch a bit on the background of Philadelphia and Laodicea, but my burden is really just on two verses. And those two verses are just on what the Lord's reward is, his promise to the overcomer. So we'll touch the background on these two churches while we address the reward, but the reward is the focus. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. He who overcomes, him I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall by no means go out any more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God and my new name. So there's a twofold reward here. Becoming a pillar in the temple of God, and then a threefold name. The name of God, the name of the new Jerusalem, and then the Son's new name. Right? So there's two rewards here. Point A. To be a pillar in the temple of my God is to be positionally and dispositionally sanctified until our entire being matches that of the corporate household of God. One, so the church in Philadelphia was persecuted by those who claimed to be Jews but were actually of the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 3:9. Today, we must be willing to stand as the body and as the church with a little power and no name other than that of the Lord Jesus. Brothers, let's read 2 together. The overcomer will be kept out of the hour of trial because they have spent their time being tried on the earth, but were preserved because they were hidden in the body. Sisters, 3. The result of being found in the body in the midst of trial is that we are built into the body as the temple of God by becoming the same material and expression as the rest of the building. Altogether on 4. The triple braided cord which keeps us in the sanctifying body is giving what little we have back to the Lord in consecration, keeping the Lord's word, not denying his name. So remember that all of this is not only, not merely for the future, but we need to use a word that's a lot more common than petition. We need to beg the Lord that this would be more and more our daily experience. So what does this mean to be a pillar in the temple? So we're becoming one with God's house. This is not very foreign to us, this concept of being one with the body, one with the church, one with God's house, right? But this is more than being a part of. It's more than being a part of. It's being built in. It's being sanctified, like I mentioned, positionally, so that we're even in it, right? Which is taken care of when we get saved. When we get saved, we are transferred into the body, which is the temple of God, the household of God. But dispositionally, which means in our disposition, in the stuff that we are, in the way that we are, we now need to be in the body, in the temple, in the household of God. So this requires us to have some transformation. This requires us to no longer be what we are and be what God is. Okay? So, you guys know this strength in numbers, quote unquote. And practically, we can get a lot of help by having other believers that we rely on. When we need practical advice, when we need someone to pray for us, when we just need someone to be with, right? That's not what we're talking about. Having someone that we can go to for prayer, that we can confide in, that we can just be with, this is not being built into the temple. This is not being built into the house of God. Brian's a pretty strong guy. I'm going to borrow Brian. These are hunks of concrete. We're going to pretend they're stones because of the biggest things that I could find around here that I could still carry. Okay? Brian, I want you to separate those two stones if you can. It wasn't very difficult. But what? They were together. They were so together. One of them was resting on the other one, depending on this one. Right? You move to the top one. But that's a weak believer. Can you move the strong believer underneath?
No.
Let's see it. Let's see if you can do it. And that one's a lot heavier too.
Yeah.
So he could do it.
But you got to do both.
He had to do both, right? So it's helpful. It's helpful to be together. All right. Nope. I want you to separate one of these stones.
I need my sword.
He needs his two-edged sword. Right? He'd have to come in here with a sledgehammer or a jackhammer, right? Something. You just can't walk up and take them. Because these stones aren't hanging out together. They're built together.
Amen.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. What's the difference? What's the difference between just having someone that we can be with and being built together? I don't have as much experience with this as I should. This is a preference, right? Who we like to pray with, who we like to fellowship with, who we like to confide in, who we like to get counsel from. This is a preference, right? Yeah, this is a really strong believer, but I'm just not a huge fan. I'm going to go pick another believer to go be with. But a verse in Ephesians 4 says to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. I'm going to speak super vaguely because, like I said, I don't have the experience of this that I should. But when we're getting built together with saints, their very presence enlivens us. They walk in the room and we feel different. We feel in our spirit, not just, oh my gosh, I haven't seen so-and-so in forever, right? Darren, I'm so glad you made it. Being with this person gives us a supply from the Lord. Because if we're built together, then Darren's connection with the head is also my connection with the head, Christ. And Darren's connection with other members is my connection with those members. if Darren and I are just really good brothers, we can no doubt lots of profit, lots of benefit. But if Darren is built with other saints in Kansas City, and Darren and I are built together, then everything that Darren receives as spiritual profit from the church in Kansas City, whenever I'm with Darren, becomes my profit.
Amen.
Because we're really one.
Right.
We're really in one body. I wish I could be more specific, but I just it's too far past my own personal experience.
Right?
But just my bracelet, my watch, my clothes, they gained the benefit, if you could call it a benefit, of being on my body.
Yeah.
Right? But my hand has the most benefit. It has the life supply, the benefit of every other part of my body. And even if Darren and I are not together, spiritually there is still a connection when we're getting built together. And such that the idea of leaving is so, it says, you cannot go out anymore. When you become a pillar in the temple, right? Which on the one hand is the church, but on the other hand is also God himself. I don't know if you've ever heard of Christians talking like, yeah, I don't know. I just think we're going to find someplace else. There's a change in the church leadership and, you know, my small group leader left, and I just think we're going to find someplace else. You know, we actually, no one here knows who they are. Daryl and I were having fellowship with someone, and when I say literally no one knows, I mean literally no one knows who they are, so don't try to guess. They were really involved several decades ago in their congregation. And, well, then the pastor left because he felt called to go somewhere else, he said. Well, I liked him. And I don't like this new guy. So they stopped going. And they stopped going for 2 decades. That is not a temple in the, or a pillar in the temple of my God. Right? It's more along the lines of, no, I'm not happy with this situation. But where else am I going to go?
Right.
This is the house of the living God, Matthew. Where else could I go?
Right.
There's no place else. Where else can I be except for the house of the living God? I can't make it without these believers. Not only do I not want to, because sometimes me may want to. I can't stand person X. But I just know that I can't live without them. Because they're a member in the house of the living God. There's no way. There's no way. And how do we really get built in? In Philadelphia, there was a little bit of talk about those who are not Jews, but who are actually a synagogue of Satan, persecuting those who were genuine believers. We, as those with a little power, we have to fight back. We just have to stand. The verse reference I have on here is Ephesians 6:13. Even with the whole armor of God, what does the church do in Ephesians 6? Stands. Right? So, regardless of what persecution or tribulation or whatever we're dealing with, regardless of what it is, if we just get with the members and we exercise and are diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit, that's how we can get built in.
There's a mortaring process.
Mortars all that stuff between those stones.
It's the stuff that makes us so one you can't separate us. That we can get by virtue of hiding ourselves in the body in the midst of any kind of trouble and persecution.
That's how we can get some benefit.
And as a result, because even though I may be hiding myself in Lincoln, for example, 12 saints, give or take, on a good day, we may have some friction. And I'm dealing with some things, and I just know I need to be in the church meetings. I need to be there. I cannot make it. But what do? Because there's only one other brother, and we don't agree on everything. And we're going to rob. And I'm torn. I need Daryl's life supply. But we're not exactly what you would call like souled. Carol laughs because she knows. We're just different brothers. And there's going to be friction, and we're going to rub on each other, and I'm going to offend him, and he's going to offend me. Just yesterday, we were having a conversation, and I was opening my feeling about something, and I just knew. I had to repent. Brother, thank you for watering me and letting me open my situation to you, but I hope I didn't cause any offense. Because my feeling was offensive, but I had no choice but to open it to this brother. So my hiding in the body, or attempting to hide in the body and be found in the body and get life supply from the body, it also presented a situation that I had to confess what I was to the Lord. Whatever I am, it's not compatible with whatever Daryl is. Right? And so I had to confess that. And then we just exercised to try to be one spirit with one another. And I hope that as a result of our fellowship and our gathering in my house last night, Daryl became less of what he was, I became less of what I was, and we both became more pillars in the temple of God.
Amen.
That's what I hope, right? Because when we get the supply, when we hide in the body in the midst of any of our difficult situations, but that presents the opportunity to receive the transforming life. So that ultimately, we all become jasper. These three verse references, Revelation 21, verses 11, 18, and 19. The wall and the foundation and the one on the throne all have the image of jasper. God on the throne, the saints who make up the wall, all the precious stones, and then the foundation stones all have the appearance of jasper. They're all the same stuff with the same expression. And that just takes transforming time for us to have that expression. This is really the implication, too, of having a threefold name, right? Having that threefold name. Our identity is now God, the New Jerusalem, and the person of Christ. This is our threefold identity, right? I don't know what time I started. I've got to be getting close to good and overtime if I'm not yet. Let's read Roman numeral 2. And I think I can be quick on this one. Roman numeral 2 together. He who overcomes, to him I will give to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. What does a pillar in the temple of God look like in its fulfillment, its consummation? Everything wonderful about being hidden in the body with none of the negative side effects. All of the rubbing is gone, right? All we have is expression and life supply, right? Okay. Point A.
And I saw thrones, and the overcomers sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God and of those who had not worshipped the beast nor his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Wonderful. I would like that job description for 1,000. What did you do for the last 1,000 years? I ruled and reigned with the God of the universe over all of the nations. It's a good resume builder. It's a good resume builder. So I need 3 volunteers. I need Daryl. Yeah. And I'm trying to pick specific. We can do Izumi. I was really hoping Christian was in here because he was by far the youngest person. Who's the youngest person in this room, do you think? Okay. All right, Matt. Come on, Matt. Okay. And then Darren. I said 3 volunteers, but I actually need 4. All right, Darren. You have a large kingdom, shall we say. And this is actually in a parable, right? The Lord had a whole bunch of stuff, and he has 3 people, and he says, hey, take care of my stuff. I'll be back in an unknown time, right? Take care of my stuff. This is like 10x, right? You know, you were faithful over a little. Now you'll be given much, right? So we're talking about the kingdom. Darren has a kingdom, and he's looking for some people to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, right? And you can pretend that this is your own household, and we're going to use these 3 as an example. Do you think stealing is wrong?
Yes.
Okay, that's good news because Daryl also thinks stealing is wrong. Matt is like, well, if I needed it, right? In Les Mis, Matt stole the loaf of bread, right? So do you think lying is wrong?
Yes.
Also, Daryl thinks lying is wrong. We know Izumi hates lying. Tell the truth. But Matt, I mean, sometimes you got to grease the wheels. Do you think it's beneficial to be merciful? Or do you think it's just iron rod all the time and these are the rules?
Merciful.
Merciful is good. Daryl, vessel of mercy. Full of mercy. Izumi, that's her nickname at school. Izumi the Merciful. Matt, iron rod all the time. He's the worst. Iron rod. And let's pick another one. Let's pick another. Will you? What's something else that you value? You think peace or war is better?
Oh yeah, peace.
Warmonger over here. He's a despot. He's a dictator. My way or the highway. Daryl and Izumi. They said, if I could have 1,000 years of peace, I'd do it. Right? Okay.
Right.
Now you need to pick one of them. Would you pick Matt to rule over your estate?
With an iron rod?
An iron rod, war for 1,000 years, lies, steals your stuff and then lies about it.
Not the best candidate.
Because he doesn't match you. He doesn't have the same character as Darren. Doesn't match him. Now we have Izumi. Practically a senior citizen, just turned 13. Right? Just turned 13. So her character is good, but she's 13. And Daryl, married man, raised several kids, has had several jobs, right? Elder in the church. Who would you pick if you had to?
Who would you pick to watch over your stuff? Very, very sweet 13-year-old. A mature grown adult. You would pick Daryl. Nothing against you. Izumi's wonderful. All right, thank you. Have a seat. What was wrong with Matt? A lot of things. But primarily, Matt's soul did not match Darren's soul. They were not the same. They did not have the same expression. Well, what was wrong with Izumi? She's too young. She's just not mature enough. Great prospect. You would redshirt her for the next season. Great prospect. If to be those who rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, we need maturation. And we need to match him. Our being needs to reflect the Lord's being. Otherwise, how can we sit and properly represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords if we don't match him? Likewise, even if we're on the positive trajectory, if we're 7, we cannot rule and reign. So those who sit on the throne of Christ are not merely children, nor are they sons. They have matured to be heirs. Amen. Romans 8:14-17. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, bringing you into fear again, but you have received a spirit of sonship in which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, heirs also. On the one hand, heirs of God, on the other, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. If I could say that there is one major thing that is that causes maturity, that is a huge difference between the maturity level between Izumi and Daryl, I guarantee Daryl has been through a lot more suffering. He's been on the earth 4 times as long as she has. Right? But holding to truth and love, we may grow up into him in all things who is the head, Christ. We have to grow up into Christ. Well, if we're going to, that implies both what we talked about, this maturation and having the same life, if we're going to grow into him. So Laodicea implies the judgment or the opinion of the people. That's what Leo and DK, right? Leo is that same word from Nicolaitans. It's the people, and DK is the judgment or the opinion of. So as the unique ruler, Christ's opinion and judgment are the only ones that matters. Hence, the overcomer's souls are conformed to that of Christ, such that his opinion is their opinion, and his judgment is their judgment. Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For God is my witness how I long after you all with the inward parts of Christ Jesus. Amen. So, as this reward of ruling and reigning, sometimes we may notice today that we speak and for whatever, it's just people, the more we express Christ, the more people will look to us in all sorts of situations. All sorts of situations. If we match him, and the more we match him, the more we express him, the more he can say, I'm comfortable with working out my administration through this one. Until ultimately he works out his whole administration through those who overcome. Praise the Lord.